to come on up here. One of the things that we love here at McKernan is hearing people's stories. If you would have been here in the first service, we had two of our grade 11 girls that got baptized, and we got to hear a piece of their story and what God's been up to in their lives. And I'll just say that as pastoral staff, we're always looking to hear people's stories. We know that God is up to a lot of really awesome and amazing things in your lives. So if there's something that you want to share, I encourage you to come talk to one of the pastoral staff. We'd love to hear what God's doing in your lives. But I asked Grant to share a little bit about that question. Like, what is something that you are excited about God doing in your life? So I'll let him share a little bit.
Thanks. So I'm Grant. I'm a grade 12 student, and I go to Millwoods Christian School. For years since junior high, I've been begging God to speak to me. I felt like I had a very stagnant and one-way prayer life. It was always me praying and telling God what I wanted and then thanking him in advance, expecting that I'd get it. Around grade 7, I started to increasingly hear about listening to God, and I wanted in. I kept asking God to speak into my life, and during this time, I learned a lot of awesome stuff at church and at youth, but I never quite felt like God was speaking into my life. I always felt that God was trying to pour into my life, but my ears just weren't working. I literally used to pull up my ears at night and try and hear him. Now fast forward to this past summer, the lead program at Camp Caroline. We'd spent about an hour sitting in the relatively hot sun outside, listening and learning to how to hear God and discern what he says, but still, I heard no personal word from God. Fast forward 6 more months, end of February, lying in bed one night after finals, God, speak to me. And he did. Pray with the people, he said. These were not audible words, but they were strong, distinctive words on my heart. Since that night, my relationship with God has launched into a whole new chapter. I constantly feel inclined to pray with people, and I've gotten into contact with family that I haven't spoken to in months and said, hey, how can I be praying for you? And it doesn't end there. God has also given me a compassionate heart to others. When we were planning our youth service night, I felt called to go out and pray for the homeless in the community. After planning and logistical stuff, we made food, packed Bibles, and went off. It was amazing, because God is more amazing. I'm always inspired by Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. With God by my side, I can go out courageously as I pray with people, talk with people, and as I listen. I continue to listen to God, but right now I'm putting majority of my focus into how I can pray for others. Thank you.
First Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 27. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts from one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it should not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body.
The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the hand cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there could be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it.
Thanks, girls. I'm excited to get to share a little bit about this passage that's really been on my heart for this last season. And I'm excited to do so on a day that we're celebrating what God is up to in some of the lives of our young people here at McKernan. I'm super proud of these guys. On days like today, it gets me really excited about the church. And I believe that we're having a really important conversation here today, one that will shape how McKernan goes into the future and the next chapters that God has for us. I really, really believe in the next generation. And you're probably thinking, it's probably a good thing that the youth pastor at McKernan believes in the next generation. You hired the right guy. maybe it's a little bit cliche that I'm the one here talking about this, but I really do believe in this. And I hope that today, after we talk, that you, if you don't feel that already, that you will as well. In this passage in 1 Corinthians, Paul uses this beautiful image of a body to describe his heart for what the church should be and should look like. And I appreciate images like this because I can wrap my head around it. He writes how, just like there are many different parts of our bodies, each working together, fulfilling their roles so that the body can be complete, our church and the church is also made up of different kinds of people, each fulfilling different roles and working together so that the church can be complete and it can be whole. Our bodies have eyes and ears and arms and legs and lungs and veins and nerves and on and on and on. And our understanding of the body is that it is complete when all of these parts are working together, fulfilling their specific roles. And then when one of these parts, whether through something like an accident or illness or whatever other circumstances, when it can't fulfill its role like it's supposed to or it was designed to, we have whole fields of medicine and therapy that work together to compensate and bring the body back to a sense of fullness. And I'm certainly no expert when it comes to how the body works, but it's fascinating to learn how each of all the different parts work together and each of the different parts are important. Take the pinky toe, for example. It's seemingly a fairly dispensable part of the body, other than being really cute on little babies. Right? But we're told that with how the foot is put together, the different bones and different muscles and everything, without having a pinky toe, it would be much more difficult to do things like stand and run and skip and jump. While it might not seem like it to us, the pinky toe plays a vital role in the part of the body. And if you've ever stubbed your pinky toe, you certainly notice it then as well. Now, if I may, I would like to argue this morning that similarly, like the pinky toe and many other indispensable parts of the body, the youth and the next generation play a vital, important role in the church as a whole and in our church specifically. If we think about the future of our church and of the church, it's easy to see how obviously the next generation is going to play an important role, right? Like it's, as the church moves forward, it's the next generation that's going to move into that. But the problem comes when we relegate the next generation to this like later category. Now, if you know me, I have this thing that I do when I encounter a problem in my life. I like to classify my problems as now Dave problems or later Dave problems. And if a problem comes up and there's nothing that I can do about it now other than stress or worry about it, then it gets put into the later Dave category of problems, and later Dave gets to deal with those problems later. But the problem is when it's supposed to be a now problem, but you put it in the later Dave problem, it just makes things a lot harder for later Dave, and he doesn't like that very much. But when we think of the next generation and their role in the church, it seems like the tendency is to often put them into that later church category, not the now church category. And for the future of the church and the future of our church, we need to see that the next generation is a part of the now church, not a part of the later church. And we'll chat a little bit about some of the specifics about how that looks a little bit later, but the next thing that we need to see is that the next generation is just one part of the body. And if we believe that they have an important part, we have to believe that we all have an important part to play. We all have an important part in the body of Christ. This isn't like an us versus them kind of conversation. God brought all of us here together to be a part of this church for this time, and we each have a specific and unique part to play in this body. The picture that we have here in this passage in 1 Corinthians is a picture of all the parts working together to give us the complete body. Now, I have a friend who really loves doing puzzles, and especially around Christmas time. If you ever go over to their place anytime in December, there's usually one of the puzzles going on the table. And a couple years ago, a bunch of us were hanging out at their place, and like usual, that puzzle was started on the table. So a bunch of us sat down to start working on it. And it was one of those like real pretty, picturesque winter scenes, like not the kind that you were wanting to see in April, but like a December kind of Christmas scene, right? So it was a pretty big puzzle, so we didn't end up finishing it that night, but so we left our friends to finish it at a later time, and over the next number of days, he was working on it and putting all the pieces in and getting closer to the end, and when he got to the end, he realized that there were two pieces missing. Exactly. Some of my friends call me dramatic, but that has got to be one of the worst feelings when you get to an end of a puzzle and there's two pieces missing. It's the worst. And it's not just the same, right? The picture isn't complete. Now, it turns out in this case, it was just one of our friends hid two of the pieces somewhere in the house. And so they were able to find it and finish the puzzle and put it all together. But what's true for this puzzle is true in how we see the body of Christ and how we see our church. Now, if we take one thing away from today, one thing away from this morning, my hope is that it's this. The most complete and beautiful picture of the body of Christ is when we are all living out our God-given role. The puzzle is most beautiful and complete when all the pieces are there, and our church, as well, is most beautiful and complete when all the pieces are there. Now, this is maybe a whole other conversation that we could have, but I think one of the problems that we often see in the church is that a lot of us spend a lot of time trying to play other people's roles rather than the ones that we were made to play. We try to fit ourselves into other people's boxes, because maybe we think that if we act this way or do this thing or play this part, then we'll be accepted, feel like I belong, and have a sense of value and worth. But I'll say it again. The most complete and beautiful picture of the body of Christ, of our church, and of the church on a global level is when each of us are living out the specific and unique God-given role that he has created us to fill. That's when we'll each feel most alive. And that's when the church, when our church, will feel most alive. And that's something to be excited about. Verse 18 in this passage says, "But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be." So I'll ask you this morning, what might your part be? Maybe there's a part that you've been trying to play but isn't the one that you've been designed for. And maybe there is a part that you've been avoiding. What might that be? The church needs you. So if we believe that the next generation has a vital part to play in the body of Christ, and we believe that actually all of us have a vital part to play, what does that look like? Again, there's a number of different ways that we could go at this, but I'd like us to just focus on one way that we can all play a part of our roles as the body of Christ. So as different parts of the body, I believe that every one of us, that we all have a responsibility to help each other live out our role. Part of us being the body of Christ is helping others be their parts of the body. Now, if we keep looking at the metaphor of our church as being like a physical body, it's easy to see how in our physical bodies, all the different parts, they don't work completely independently from each other. They work together, and they support each other in order to fulfill their purposes and to keep the body healthy. Verse 21 says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable, are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other." And here's the key of it all in verse 26. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So we're all in this together. We're all a part of this body together. And if we want our expression of the body to be its fullest and most complete version, we need to figure out how to support each other to live out those God-given roles that we have. Now, I see this in three different ways. First, one way that we can all be a part of this is through encouragement. And this one can be really easy and can take next to no effort, really, if just a little bit of intentionality. It can be really as simple as this. If you see someone doing something well, you tell them. Or if you see someone serving, thank them. Or if you notice someone giving up some of their time to be part of something that the church is doing, encourage them. And as much as this goes for inside the church, it goes just as much for outside of the church as well in our day-to-day lives. That's kind of the easy version of encouragement, but what I'd really like to challenge us all to is a deeper level of encouragement. And this deeper level of encouragement will definitely take a deeper level of intentionality and discernment. But what we really need is for us to be a people that notices when people are living out their God-given role as their specific part of their body, and to encourage those things. For example, maybe you head downstairs and you see one of the children's ministry workers that just has this special way of connecting with the kids and sharing God's truth with them. Maybe that's their specific part of the body that they're called to play, and we need to encourage that. Or maybe there's someone that you see that's always out in the hospitality area that's always the one setting up chairs and taking down tables and being a part of all that behind-the-scenes stuff, because that's who they were made to be. They just do it with this sense of just a heart of servant leadership. We need to encourage that in each other. Or maybe you have a conversation with someone, and in that conversation you're just sharing kind of what's on your heart, and in that you feel like they really listen, and that you feel heard, and they listen with a sense of empathy and compassion. And maybe that's how God has wired them to live out their specific part of the body. When we see that, we need to encourage that. And I see a huge opportunity that we have here, especially for our next generation. This is a time in their lives when a lot of them are experimenting and trying to discern and figure out what their God-given role is. So they'll be trying all kinds of different things. That's a huge reason why we do something like today, is to give them a chance to explore and to experiment with different roles. And when we see them doing that, like, let's encourage them. What would our church look like if we were a people of encouragement and of blessing? Now, another way that we support the other parts of the body is by equipping. And this is a huge opportunity, obviously, for us to walk with the next generation, but it applies to all of us as well. If there's an area of service or just an area where you feel like you are especially gifted in, and you see someone else that you think might be gifted in that, let's walk alongside them. And it's more than encouraging. It's giving opportunities to learn and to grow. It can be as practical as teaching a specific skill or sharing lessons learned or praying with and for each other. And one of the ways that this really gets played out is through mentoring. And this is something that I'm really excited about, and this is a lot of what we do in the youth ministry. A lot of what we do is built around mentoring. I know that I've had many conversations that there is a desire for mentoring in our church. I know that there are people here today who would love to have someone come alongside them as a mentor and walk with them. And I also know that there are people here today who would be completely capable of being a mentor as well. And sometimes I think we hear the word mentor and it can seem like this big scary word, and we might think, how could I be someone's mentor, or what would I have to give? But really, at its like simplest, most basic form, all it is realizing that maybe you're a little bit further down this journey of faith. Not that you have everything figured out, but maybe just a couple steps further, and choosing to say to someone, let's walk together, let's do this together. And you encourage and you equip them along the way. And since when we do things like this, alliteration is important, the last way we see this played out is through empowering. I'm so excited that we've, again, been able to do this takeover this Sunday, to give our youth an opportunity to feel empowered to serve their church in a variety of different roles. To me, empowering is saying, you're a part of this church now. You have a role to play. To me, empowering is saying something like, here's the financial support that you need to be able to go on that mission trip that you feel like God is calling to. And to me, empowering is saying, I believe in you enough for me to let go of this thing that I'm holding on to so that you can grab onto it and you can run with it. Now, maybe to illustrate this a little bit more, I'll just share with you a little bit about my story and how I got to be who I am and where I am today. Now, I've been coming to McKernan for, I think, about 19, 20-ish years. So that's a lot of Sundays that I've sat in these pews and listened to a lot of sermons. And I don't want to downplay the importance of that. I really believe that a large part of who I am is because of the foundation and the framework that I have gotten from many of Pastor Lyle's sermons and others who have been in that pulpit over the years. So I don't want to downplay that, but it doesn't all just happen from the stage. I want to share it. You're like, what is he doing walking all the way back here? there was a Sunday morning when I was in grade 12, right at the end of the school year, where I was standing right back here in this sanctuary, and Pastor Christine pulled me aside, and this was the first time that she invited me. She asked me if I would volunteer and be a youth leader the next year. And that was the beginning of me discovering more about my God-given design, and now I get to play this role that I do now. And it was her taking a second to notice me and to empower me and encourage me to do this. And over the years, they've been a part of equipping me to be more of who I am. If we were in the old church, I'd walk out into the lobby, and there was a chair that was kind of by the railings over there. And a number of years after that, there was a conversation that I had with one of our youth's moms. And just in passing, real simply, she gave me this word of encouragement at a time when she didn't realize how much I really needed that encouragement. And that played a huge role in me being able to keep on doing what I was doing. And certainly there's a lot of conversations like that happen here in the church, but it's not just conversations here in the church. I've had youth leaders, Mike and Amy and Tyler, were people that really believed in me and spent many hours in conversations encouraging me and being a part of my life. But one last instance that I'll tell you about that was a pretty major one. As I was sitting right here in the second pew here one Sunday morning, I think it was probably about six or seven years ago, and it was during Pastor Dan's ordination service, and Jim Leverett was giving the address to all of us. And at the end of his address, he said to all of us, he said, the world needs the next generation of Christian leaders. He said, our hospitals, our schools, our offices, our workplaces, our homes, they all need that next generation of Christian leaders. But then he said, but the church also needs that next generation of Christian leaders. And there's something about when he said that, God spoke to my heart, and I felt like God was saying to me that you're going to be a part of that. You have a part to play in that. And that was him just sharing the words that God had put on his heart, and God spoke to him to encourage me. And it was after that that I registered in seminary and started pursuing youth ministry more full-time. So I am who I am today, and I am doing what I'm doing because a lot of different people took the time to notice and to encourage, equip, and empower me. And for sure, let me dispel any illusions that I have it all figured out or I'm anywhere close to being done this journey, because that's certainly not true. But we're all on this journey together, and we all have a role to play. We can all be people like that for the people around us. Now, before I wrap up, though, I want to just talk specifically to any of the youth that are here, or if you consider yourself part of that next generation. Now, we have a role to play in this as well. If you look around McKernan, you'll see that this is a congregation that is filled with many who have sacrificed and given a lot so that we could be here today. There are people here who were career missionaries and gave their life to serving in that way. There's people here who have been a part of McKernan since it started in the beginning, some 60-odd years ago. There's people here who have given faithfully of their time, their finances, their prayers, and their energy. And these are people who have fought for our church, and they fought for the church and the faith. And these are people who have fought for you and for me. There's an old saying that says, we stand on the shoulders of giants. Let's not forget that. Another metaphor that's often used in the New Testament is one of running a race. Now, there's many here who are running the race and have run this race well. And one day, it's going to be our turn to take that baton and run. Now, in relay races, there's always that section of track where both of the runners run together as they pass the baton. It's not like the one guy runs up, stops, hands the baton to the next guy who grabs it and starts running. There's that section of track where they run together for a while. Now, maybe for us, as the next generation and as those who are serving now, maybe it's time that we run together for a while. Now, I don't know what that necessarily is going to look like for each of us individually, but it's my prayer that as we continue to figure out what it means for the church, for us to be the church together, that we'll see that we all have this important part to play. Now, in the most complete and beautiful picture of the body, we all have this God-given role to play. We're all a part of this body together. And that really gives me hope for the future. Let me pray for us. Father God, I'm blessed to be a part of this church. Blessed to have had so many who have gone before, who have taken the time to encourage and equip and empower me so that I could continue to figure out the ways that you have designed me and gifted me to be a part of this body. So God, I pray that we will be able to be that for each other. That we as a body of McKernan would notice in the next generation and in each other ways that we can be encouraging, equipping, and empowering each other. And God, as we talk about this running the race, God, I pray that we will be able to run this race well and that we'll be able to run this race together for however long you have it for us. And God, as we run, I pray that as a church, as individuals, that all of us will fix our eyes upon Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. And as that is the hope with which we run towards. And we pray all this in your son's name. Amen. Please be standing.